Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. This is the reading of God's word. John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear results. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is the only thing that tells us of Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished for us. It is the only thing that shows us our heavenly reality. Once again, as we hear your word, let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, through your word. Let us see our heavenly reality, so that we may rejoice because of our salvation, because you are our God and we are your people forever. Work within us, that we may hear your voice through your word, that you will grant us an ear to hear, and work in the person who is preaching, that your word will be preached correctly. O Father, bless us and receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every Lord's Supper Sundays, Lord's Days, we're going through Mark. And as we read the book of Mark, we see that the kingdom of God has come with her King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The old things indeed have passed away, and the new things have come. The messianic kingdom that was promised in the Old Testament has begun its reign. Jesus Christ has come. The heaven has begun. But the Pharisees did not understand. They could not accept that the Messiah has come in the person of Jesus Christ. They have interpreted the word of God according to their worldly and sinful minds. Thus, even when God himself has come and stood right before them, they could not comprehend what was happening. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend. Verse 18 of our passage says, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus answers in verse 19, "While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." Yes, our eternal husband has come. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. God has promised his people from the Old Testament Hosea chapter 2 verse 19 through 20, I will betroth you to me forever. I will marry you. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. There are so many passages in the Old Testament that tells us that God is our husband. Let me read a few verses from the Old Testament to you. First, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord, for I am a master to you, and I will take you, one from a city, and two from a family, and I will bring to Zion. Now, that may not be the text that I'm looking for. Well, let us go to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 4. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced, but you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 62, verse 5. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Do you see it then? The promise of God, that God is our husband and we are his bride, that God will come and betroth us. That promise of God is being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Our eternal husband has come to marry us forever and ever. Even though we have fallen in sin and became filthy and betrayed our husband and went out to the world, our eternal husband never forsook us, continued to love us, and came for us to cleanse our filth and sins with his blood on the cross and clothe us with his righteousness, to marry us forever, to live with us forever and ever. And that is what is happening in our passage. That is what Jesus' coming is all about. But John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees did not understand. While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast. Can they? They just did not understand what was happening. There is only one place where God commands his people to fast. And for those of you who are young, fasting is when you don't eat. You go without food. And there is only one place where God commands his people to fast through his law in the Old Testament. There are many other places where God commands people to fast, but this is only place through the law of God that he commands his people to fast. When we read Leviticus chapter 16, we read about the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement. Once a year, the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the animal to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat to atone the sins of God's people. Let us go there. Leviticus chapter 23. Even though Leviticus chapter 16 tells us about the Day of Atonement, we're going to read Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to start reading from verse 27. On exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generation in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls on the 9th of the month at evening. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. Now, the phrase, you shall humble your souls. Another translation you might find, it says, you shall afflict your souls. Now, if you read Psalm 35, verse 13, we read, I humbled my soul with fasting. So, if you read Leviticus 23 and wonder what that is all about, humbling my soul, well, it means humbling your soul by fasting. In Acts chapter 27, verse 9, it talks about a feast, or not feast, special days. And it says the fast was over. Now, that when it says the fast is over, it means the Day of Atonement is over. The fast refers to the Day of Atonement. God also commands His people to fast through His prophets. Remind you again, not through the law, but by prophet they come, and for that special time, God commands them to fast. And we will see this kind of example in Joel. Let us go to Joel chapter 1. Minor prophet after Hosea, Joel chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. And chapter 2, verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. God calls them to fast. Why? Because there's judgment coming. They should repent. They should repent of their sins and cry out to God, and they should return to God. So these people were called to fast because if they do not repent, then the judgment of God is coming. When we read the Old Testament, we are able to tell that the fasting was an important part of God's people's lives. There was one day fast, one week fast, 40 days fast. And in Zechariah, we see the fasting in the months of April, May, July, and October. If you put all these things together, there are certain things that are common to all fasting. And those are that the one, that person who is fasting is humbling himself to God. He is forsaking all and entrusting himself to God and depending on God and also repenting of their sins before God. That is, those are the things that are common to all fasting. What was important as much as fasting itself was the hearts of the person who is fasting. His attitude and the purpose in his fasting. And the fasting does not end by breaking the fast. Good works that pleases God must follow. The obedient life must follow. Obviously, I mean, you're fasting and you're repenting, and as soon as fast is over, you sin. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. Isaiah 68. Isaiah 60. I'm just so bad today. Go to Zechariah. There's no Isaiah 68. It ends at 66. Amazing. Zechariah chapter 7. Yeah, we after picnic, I typed this and I guess I didn't know what I was typing. Zechariah chapter 7. Verse 1. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is, what is that? Chislev. Now the town of Bethel had sent Sharezar and Regem-Melech and their men to seek the favor of the Lord, speaking to the priests who belong to the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, shall I weep in the fifth month and abstain as I have done these many years? Well, he's talking about fasting. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? When you eat and drink, do you not eat for yourself and do you not drink for yourselves? Are not these the words which the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jeremiah was inhabited and prosperous along with its cities around it? Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous along with its cities around it, and the Negev and the foothills were inhabited. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. What is God saying? You know, you did all this fasting, and yet you don't do justice. You don't practice a kindness and compassion. Then what is it for? So fasting. When you are fasting, you're humbling yourself to God. You're forsaking all, and you're entrusting yourself to Him and Him alone, depending on God alone, and you're repenting of your sins before God. But the fastings of the Pharisees were not like that. According to Luke chapter 18, verse 12, Pharisees, they fasted twice every week. And somewhere I heard that it was Monday and Thursday. Twice every week they fasted. But they fasted to show up, to boast. Fasting for them was acting as if they were pious. Now, against that, Jesus taught the correct way of fasting in Matthew chapter 6. Let us go there together. Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So these Pharisees, they were fasting to boast. You know, fasting is a good thing. And we're going to talk about whether we should fast today, these days, in the New Testament or not, a little bit later. Yeah, but when you fast, let no one know about it. Do it in secret. Yeah, nowadays, you know, the whole church announces the fast. You know, whole church says we're going to do 40-day fasting. It's announced. Everybody knows about it. No. You know, I read some of these, biographies of this great Christian men. And in it, I read how many times they have fasted in their lives. How come we know about it? What's so great about that? When people know about what you're doing. Even when we help others, God says, let your right hand not know what your left hand is doing. But these Pharisees, they were boasting about their fasting. The true fasting, true humbleness, is what? It's saying that you cannot do it yourself with your own strength and ability. You cannot do it with the power of this world. You could only do it with the power of heaven and the power of God. You're humbling yourself to God. You're forsaking every selfish thinking and the boasting of self-ability and strength when you fast. In this, if we see it this way, only our Lord Jesus Christ has fasted perfectly according to the will of God. And not only he fasted, you know, we read about his fasting 40 days, but that fast was followed by his life of obedience, even obedient to death on the cross. Our passage says, while the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? Jesus asks. So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Jesus Christ is our bridegroom. And when he came, the heaven has begun its reign. We're very, very certain that there is no fasting in heaven. Because heaven is about eternal feasting, not fasting. While Jesus is with his people physically as he fulfills the witnesses the reality of heaven perfectly, there cannot be any fasting. Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, verse 6. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine, and on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. God speaks of a day of the Lord, when God will come and he will have a banquet with his people forever and ever. And that day, all sins of his people will be swallowed up. Death will be swallowed up. Do you see it? That reality is being perfectly fulfilled in Jesus' coming. So when Jesus came, there cannot be fasting. Does this mean that Jesus is abrogating or abolishing the fast or fasting? We are not to fast any longer? Is that what our passage is teaching us? Verse 20. But days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast that day. Let us understand what he's saying. Jesus' first coming has inaugurated the kingdom of God. But we must wait until his second coming to see the complete consummation. You and I live in between his first and second comings. Thus, there's already and not yet aspects of our reality. Spiritually, it's already, but physically, visibly, not yet. But even though it's not visible, spiritually, it is already accomplished. Thus, it is different from Old Testament. All has been fulfilled, though only spiritually. Now in Jesus Christ, the new era has begun. Now in the age of fulfillment, then, the new purpose and the new meaning have been given to everything, even to the fasting. And this reality is shown in verses 21 and 22. We read that. Let me read it to you once again. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear results. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. Do you see it? The old has passed away, and the new things have come. And the old and the new, they are not compatible to each other. We cannot go back to the old. Now, Jesus is not abrogating fasting, but the fasting has new meaning and new purpose. Now, in this new era, the fasting is all about Jesus Christ. Let me read to you verse 19 and 20 again. While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. Fasting is now dependent upon whether the bridegroom is with us or not. That is what determines whether we fast or not. Not like the Old Testament, not according to the law, not just as a ritual, not because we are fearful of His judgment. That is not why we fast anymore. We fast, and the focus is now Jesus Christ. If He is with us, then we do not fast. If He is not with us, we fast. Of course, He is with us all the time spiritually, but here we are talking about His visible presence. Thus, today, the fasting is about seeking our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. If He is not with us, we fast. If He is with us, we don't fast. What does that mean? Then fasting is seeking Jesus Christ, our eternal husband. Fasting is an act of seeking Jesus Christ. Because He is not seen, we are thirsty and hungry for Jesus. Thirsty and hungry to see Him face to face. It is longing for Jesus Christ. We are hungry for Jesus Christ, and this is what the Christian fasting is all about. It is not about whether I fasted today or whether I will fast tomorrow. We don't have to know. It is not just about the act itself that you have fasted. But we live a life of fasting. Fasting for Jesus Christ. You hunger for Him. And we always, as a Christian, hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ. If that is what fasting is about, that it is being hungry and thirsty for Christ, then how can anybody seeking the world as they fast? You know, they fast 40 days so that their sons and daughters can go to good college. If fasting is fasting for Christ, how can anybody do that? But they do. Because it's not about Christ. It's all about what they want to have. Their worldly desires. Their sinful desires. Understand, brothers and sisters, those things cannot go together. When you seek Christ, you forsake the world. And yet, I see so many people fasting. You know, they're praying and fasting for 40 days. For what? For what purpose? To gain this world. Amazing, isn't it? But our passage is very clear. Fasting is about whether Jesus is with us or He is not with us. Fasting is a good thing. Even for you young people, just fasting one meal. You know, don't do like 40 days. I never can do it 40 days. But just one meal. But not for your figures, not for your diet or whatever, but as an act of seeking Christ, as an act of being hungry for Christ. So it helps when you physically fast, because you will ask yourself, why am I hungry? Oh, you know why. It will remind you. But what is important is that whether you are physically, it's not whether you are physically fasting or not, but what is important is that you always seek Christ. That you are always hungry and thirst for Christ. That you are longing for your eternal husband. In this sense, the Christian life itself is fasting until we get to heaven, until His return. Do you understand what your life is all about? As a Christian, your life is about fasting. Fasting for Christ. Being hungry and thirsty for Jesus Christ, because we are not able to see Him face to face right now. But as soon as we see Him face to face, there is no fasting after that. Mark chapter 14, verse 24. Mark chapter 14, verse 24. This is the institution of the Lord's Supper. And during that time, Jesus said this in chapter 14, verse 24. This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Until that day when everyone of my people gather unto that glorious, into that glorious place. Until all of His people are gathered before Him so that He could see them face to face. Jesus says, I will not drink until that day. What is He doing? He's longing for you. He's thirsty for you. Do you see it? Jesus is longing for us, and we are longing for Him. This is what Christianity is all about. It is about love story between Jesus and His people. Nothing else. And if you do not understand this love, pray hard that God will give you understanding. It's about loving God and being loved by God. There is a day coming, brothers and sisters, when the heaven is visibly completely consummated. There is a day coming when there is no longer fasting. There is a day coming when Jesus Christ, our Lord, returns and we are able to behold His face, face to face. And in heaven, our Lord will be never taken away forever and ever. He will always be with us. And we will be His eternal bride forever and ever. And He will live with us forever and ever. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, mourning, crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And how was this accomplished? Because our bridegroom was taken away. He was taken away to the cross to die for His people, so that He will never be taken away from us anymore, so that we will not be taken away from Him anymore, so that He and all of His people will be together forever and ever, loving one another. All of you who are coming to His table, and all you covenant children, you are the ones who are thirsty and hungry for Jesus Christ. You live a life of fasting. Come to Him. Even if you are not able to physically participate, you could always come to Christ, you covenant children. Come to Him, you who are thirsty and hungry for Christ. He will give Himself to you. He will fill you. He will give the perfect satisfaction. Yes, our fasting will be over soon. Yes, we will see Him face to face very soon. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Every time we fast, what are we doing? We are crying out to God, "Come, Lord, come quickly." That is what we say every time we fast. Why? Because when we fast, we are longing for Christ. We are longing to see Him face to face. Other words, "Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly." We are longing for the day when all will be visible. Every time we fast, we long for that day when everything will be visible. Why? Because we want to see Jesus Christ. That is what our life is all about. And brothers and sisters, if you do not understand this, pray very hard. Because if you don't see your life as a life that is purposed in seeing Jesus Christ face to face, according to the Word of God, you're wasting your life. You're completely wasting. But look at what is happening today. Jesus is not forsaking you. He calls you to Him so that He may give Himself to you. Man, this is true love stuff. He loves you. And He calls you to love Him the same way. And His people will love Him that way forever and ever. You know, we're not asking non-Christians to listen and obey what we're saying. I'm talking to you who claim to be Christian. And if you are Christian, you must understand this love story. Because that's what our life is all about. So you who are hungry for Christ, come and feast on Him. upon him. You who are thirsty for Christ, come and drink. He will give you satisfaction. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh Father, pour out your blessings upon us, your people, who are so ignorant and so lazy, not wanting to live that life that you have called us to live, as if there is any other life. There's only destruction other than the true life that you alone gives to us. We see how you are so thirsty and so hungry for us that you even came yourself to have us. Oh Father, work in us. Increase our faith so that we may hunger and thirst for you. They may live a life of fasting. And even if it helps for us to fast physically to do that, let us do that often. But let us remember, the purpose is to long for you. We love you, God. And thank you for loving us first. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.